You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Sibling rivalry, it's a real topic, it's a big one, and it's a loaded one. So today we're talking to Amy McCready, who's a parenting expert and author and just overall wise woman. She also has two boys very close in age, so she totally gets it. And we're going to dive right in. I know you're a parenting expert, which I'm thrilled to have the ability to talk to you about with three young children and a stepchild. But I love the topic of sibling rivalry because as the oldest of four children in my family, it was a subject that was always talked about and navigated, I think, really well with my parents. But now as a parent myself, trying to navigate it is tricky and you want to do it to the best of your ability. So, I mean, let's dive right into that topic because it feels like that must be one that you talk about all the time.
Yes. I mean, it's one of the biggest pain points for parents. And every parent wants their kids to get along beautifully, right? And we just kind of have to remember that some sibling rivalry and competition is perfectly normal. But what's so interesting is the way we respond to it as parents will determine whether it's just a minor annoyance or it kind of snowballs into a much bigger situation. So having those skills down is going to be really important.
So my kids are kind of similar age differences to how my siblings and I were growing up. And my sister and I are super close now. But of course, you know, there were moments growing up that we were not as close or we would fight about certain things. And I'm seeing it with my two daughters who are a similar age difference. And I know now my sister and I are best friends and we talk so many times a day. And I know that my relationship with my siblings is such a close-knit one that I want that for my children. And I never look back at my childhood and say my mom or my dad said or did anything wrong. But I also know that there's so much new research on what we can do as parents when we have children that are the same gender or different genders, close in age, farther in age. I feel like farther in age is a lot less to deal with. But with kids close in age, like where do you start as a parent with how to do that in a really great way?
Yeah. So I think the first thing to recognize is some of the mistakes that we make totally in the name of love, but they are mistakes that actually escalate sibling rivalry and competition. So one example would be actually creating unnecessary competition in your family. So when you have littles, when you say things like, oh, let's see who can get dressed the fastest. Let's see who can get upstairs the fastest. Like we do that to get kids moving, but think about what we've done. We've just created competition. We're going to have a winner and a loser and someone is going to be unhappy. Another thing that we tend to do, and this happens at all ages, is we create these victim and aggressor roles. So when I ask parents in coaching calls, like, there's a fight brewing in the other room. Do you have an idea of who started it or who's at fault? And they're always like, oh, yeah, I know exactly who started it. And that's what happens is we start to pigeonhole our kids into these roles where one is the victim and one is the aggressor. And over time, what happens is the aggressor learns that there's a lot of power in being the aggressor and the victim learns that there's a lot of attention and those roles will just continue on and on. And I think the other mistake that we make, again, totally in the name of love, is we as parents tend to jump into every little fight. And again, this is for the littles all the way up to the bigs. And the problem with that is that, especially for our littles, they realize that there's a lot of attention and fighting because mom or dad swoops on in, but we don't give them the opportunity to try to work it out on their own. So we're doing all these things with the thought that we're actually helping, but it's actually undermining their ability to develop the skills to manage their own conflicts and resolve those disagreements down the road.
What age do you see sibling rivalry really rearing its head?
Sibling rivalry begins the minute child number two comes into the picture. So whether that is a new baby coming home from the hospital or blending families where you now have new siblings, the minute the second child comes into the picture, that begins. And when you think about when you're having a baby, you do all the things. You read the books and you prepare child number one for the arrival of child number two. You do everything that you can, but the reality is nothing can prepare child number one for that feeling of being dethroned. And so as we look at sibling rivalry, that it kind of starts, or the atmosphere, the environment for sibling rivalry is created right out of the chute. And so I always talk about kind of three buckets for kind of why sibling rivalry happens. The first one is competition for your attention. So think about your firstborn had 100% of your time and attention. Then the second one comes along and that firstborn's child is totally rocked, is getting way less attention. And from their perspective, everything has turned upside down. The second kind of reason or bucket for the sibling rivalry is related, and it's that feeling of jealousy or perceived favoritism. I feel like you love her more than you love me. They don't say that exactly, but that's kind of what's underlying it. And then the other is the skill deficits. So conflict resolution is hard, even for us adults. And so kids just don't have the emotional regulation skills. They don't have the conflict resolution skills so that they can manage those conflicts. So it starts early and it kind of continues throughout. But again, it's all in how we as the adult respond to it. We can respond in a way that minimizes it as much as we can. Or if we fall into some of those mistakes that I mentioned earlier, it can really grow to a point where the siblings just don't really have very good relationships, and none of us want that.
So, I mean, saying that it starts right from the beginning, as the oldest myself, I know exactly what you're talking about because I, even though I don't remember my sister being born because I'm only 19 months older than her, I know as I watched my oldest, Lila, when my daughter Eloise was born, it was an interesting shift for me because as the oldest, I was like, I know how Lila's feeling when bringing a new child home. And it was my second baby. So of course I wanted to be with her. So it's kind of course, then you look at the parents' role in it and it's kind of like a bit of a dance as well, of course. But at what age is appropriate for a parent to be involved in conflict resolution when there is a problem between siblings? And at what age are you supposed to remove yourself and allow them to work it out? Because that's something I'm dealing with right now with my kids at 3.5 and 5.5.
Yeah. And especially at that age, like they definitely don't have the skills. So at really any age, we can get involved. The key is how we do that. So the first thing is, I mentioned one of the mistakes that parents make is jumping in too quickly to every little scuffle. And so the thing that I would say, like even for your littles, is really just hold back and just listen from a distance. Because so often what we think is going to turn into a big fight just peters out. It really doesn't. Or they work it out on their own. So the litmus test that I give to parents in terms of when to step in, whether you have a 3-year-old or a 13-year-old, is the disagreement getting beyond their skill level, right? Is it getting physical? Is it going beyond the boundaries of what is acceptable in the norms of your family for how you communicate? So if it's kind of reaching that level, then it's appropriate for you to step in. But again, how we step in is also a really important piece of that.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So I'm curious because this is something that I watched my mom do well as a parent now that I look at it. But when I was younger, I found it to be really irritating, was always trying to maintain equality with your children. that to me is one of the trickiest things as a parent with kids who are close in age and also the same gender, is how do you allow, let's say, the oldest to be complimented and praised for something great that he or she might be doing without making the younger one feel bad, or vice versa. If the younger one is doing something that's advanced or that's really amazing, complimenting her and not having the older one feel bad.
Yeah. So there's so much in that question. Like, we could talk for an hour just on that. But let me say, I caution parents on being too concerned about fairness, because it almost always comes back and bites us. Because then you get into this ongoing dialogue of, well, you had enough grapes and you eat, you know, we're constantly justifying why it is actually fair. And again, what kids learn is that there's a lot of attention and power that comes from that. And so you'll continue to see those bids for, well, that's not fair, and he got more, and so, and all of that. So that's the one piece on who gets what. Now, in terms of the compliments and so forth, right? Kids have different skill levels, they have aptitudes, they have interests, and that's okay. The caution that I like to share is that instead of complimenting sort of what we call like the end product, like your performance, so maybe it was the grade that you got on the test or the goal that you scored in the game, instead focus on the effort, your hard work. Right, putting it all out there on the field, because those are things that even your younger sister, who doesn't have the same skill level as you do, she might not score the goal or be as competent an artist or musician or whatever it happens to be, just because there's an age difference and so forth. But as a parent, if we focus on the effort and the hard work and all of those things that contribute to a successful outcome, that's sort of the great equalizer, because we can all work really hard and try hard regardless of what our actual proficiency is in that area.
How much of it is projection with parents? I know for me, for example, my daughter Lila draws a beautiful picture, and obviously she's older, so she's drawing at a different level than Eloise. And she brings me a picture and I can make it out perfectly. And I'm like, this is a rainbow with a mommy. It's me and Lila, and she wrote her name on it. And I say to her, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. I love the rainbow. You worked so hard on that. And who is this? It's mom. And then my daughter Eloise brings hers in, and I say, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. It's so great. And I'm looking at the two of them, and she's like, well, I didn't draw that, or Eloise isn't what mine looks like. What can I do differently? And what have I done wrong?
Well, you haven't done anything wrong, but it's so funny. I could just imagine Eloise bringing her drawing and you're like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah. I'm like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. But again, that's why we focus on kind of the effort. And so instead of commenting on the rainbow specifically, you can comment on these colors are so vibrant. Mm-hmm. Or you really seem to enjoy art. So you sort of comment again on the process rather than the end product, because that way they're not trying to compare each other's drawings to each other. That's going to always be a losing proposition for Eloise. But if you either just comment on the colors or whatever it is, or I like to say, tell me about this. Tell me all about this. What were you thinking when you drew this? And get them talking about it. And you can say, I totally see what you mean. So if you kind of ask questions before commenting, then that gives you some insight into their thought process and what they value as important.
Is the projection angle of me looking at the two of them and saying, oh, I need to compliment both of them in whatever the situation is, or if someone else compliments one, I need to compliment the other. Is that in my mind as a parent that I am overcompensating for that, or is that reality?
Yeah, I think we all tend to do that, but I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
Because then it sort of sets up that expectation of fairness. Well, if she gets a compliment, well, then I should be getting a compliment too. And that's not always the case. Sometimes Eloise gets compliments and sometimes Lila does. So we don't have to feel the need to always make up for that.
Got it. Okay. So it's a little bit of like a parental projection.
Yeah. Because we feel bad, right? Like we don't want the one child to feel bad. And so we feel the need to step in.
And what about when somebody else, because this is also something that I remember my mom trying to navigate with my sister and I growing up, is when one person an outsider, so not a member of the family, compliments or says something about your handwriting or your grades as you get older or your appearance, what you're doing outside of school, praising your accomplishments. And even I find this, even as I get older, it's a tricky thing to navigate with siblings when one is doing something, having their moment. And now that I'm older, of course, I'm thrilled when my siblings have their moments. But when you're growing up, you're like, wait a second, I want that moment too. So how do you, as a parent, set them up for success or awareness earlier than maybe I came to it?
Well, I think there's a couple of things there. So first, when somebody, an outsider, a family member, whatever, makes a compliment on, again, the grades or whatever it is, the accomplishment, I always like to follow up with a, yes, he really loves music. Yes, she really loves art. So you're following that statement up with something that is focusing, again, on their effort or their hard work or the love of that thing, the sport, the whatever it is, because that reminds your child that that's actually the most important thing, not what the winning goal was or whatever it happens to be. So that's the first piece. The other thing is, if you have family members who are around your children a lot, you can have a conversation with them so that they are aware that Jack really excels in this area and Lila isn't quite there yet, but just, you know, so they're aware of the compliments that they're giving to the children and it feels a little bit more balanced. But here's the other thing is, I've always encouraged parents to give encouragement and give correction in private instead of in front of the siblings, because then there's always that sense of comparison. So if the grandparents or somebody else is going to compliment the kids, encourage them to do it one-on-one, not necessarily in front of all the siblings, so there isn't that comparison going on.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So compliment in private and correct in private.
Yes. So let's talk about that for a minute. So correction in private, of course, that makes sense because you don't want them to be embarrassed in front of their siblings. And if you're talking about something that's important, you want 100% of their focus to be on you and what you're saying in this important conversation. But if there are siblings or others around, they're going to be thinking, well, what is she thinking? You know, there's going to be a distraction factor. But the same is true for encouragement. And so I like to just bring them in and say, you know what? I have just noticed how hard you've been working on your left-footed kick in the backyard. And you must feel really proud of how much progress you've made. Again, we're focusing on the hard work and the progress, but that one-on-one, he has all of your attention during that moment and he's not feeling superior to his siblings and the siblings aren't feeling bad because they're not getting a compliment in the moment.
Got it. It's an interesting, I mean, the correcting in private to me is, I feel like that I watched my mom do, so that I'm aware of, but the complimenting in private, is there ever an okay time to compliment not in private?
Well, and I don't want to say we can never do that, right? This is not like an absolute, but in general, I think it's appropriate to be in private. If you are going to do it in public, I would just say, make sure that you're focusing on, again, the effort, the improvement, the progress. And the reason that's so important, Catherine, is the things that we're encouraging, we do that because it's an important character trait or attitude, and we want them to be able to duplicate that in other settings, right? And so if they work really hard at something in school, and that's what we focus on, the hard work or the improvement, the resilience, the stick-to-itiveness, the reaching out for help, they can duplicate that on the sports field. They can duplicate that in their job. So these become the traits and the behaviors that are valued, because your kid may be brilliant in chemistry, but in languages really struggles, right? And so if we're just focused on the A or the best performance, then in those areas where they're not as proficient, they think, gosh, have I failed, right? But if everyone has given their best effort and really worked hard, we want everybody to feel good about that. Because in families, siblings have different levels of proficiency.
What about getting to a place where, and I hear this language already with my girls, Eloise has this and I don't. Lila gets that and I don't. I always also, when I was growing up, I would always say to my mom, who wanted my sister and I to be always treated equally, which I, as a parent, I understand. I would always say to her, well, I'm the oldest, so I should have different privileges than Christina. And I see it with Lila now. Lila will say, well, I'm the oldest and I should be able to do something different than Eloise. And it hasn't become that much of an issue yet since they're young. But I do hear the Lila gets that and I don't, or Eloise gets that and I don't. What do you do to navigate that as a parent?
Well, and remember we talked about sort of those buckets that are sort of the core, the root cause of some of the sibling rivalry. And one of them was that jealousy, like you love her more than you love me.
Right.
And so if we could think of it from that lens, instead of jumping in to justify the reason and why Lila has more privileges or whatever it is, instead of that, let's lean into her real feeling that we suspect, right? And so we can lean in with empathy and say like, wow, it is hard, isn't it? When your sister gets to do things that you don't. I know. I remember my sister feeling the same way when I got to do things and she couldn't. So if we can just begin immediately with that statement of empathy, and if possible, relate it to one of your own experiences, that just diffuses that a little bit of that power struggle. They're like, okay, she gets me. I'm understood. And then you can talk about there are differences, right? So we have different privileges, not even necessarily because of age, but because we've demonstrated that we can handle different privileges, right? And so if one child is allowed to stay up later at night, it's because they've demonstrated that they can stay up a little later and still wake up the next morning and get up and be pleasant and get through their day and all of those things. So if you kind of focus on the demonstrated behaviors that allow that privilege to take place, that kind of gives them something to work towards, right? When I can, let's say it's technology time, you know, maybe your older kids have a little bit more technology time than the younger ones. Well, when I get to a point where I can handle more technology time and still be doing all the other things in my life, then I'll get that opportunity as well. So it's not so much just about age, it's about proficiency.
And when kids say, that's not fair, do you just say, I get it?
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so don't run out and then get them a sticker.
No, exactly.
Okay. Is there a specific age that sibling rivalry hits its peak?
It's going to be different depending on the family.
Okay.
So again, so much of this comes down to how we as parents handle the sibling rivalry. So again, when you have kids closer in age, that can create more sibling rivalry. The thing that I always encourage parents to do is sort of a gut check on their own level of competitiveness. So if the individual parents are highly competitive, right? They did sports. Is this hitting home in any
this
way?
This is not going to go over well. I can tell you that right now.
But it's true, right? When I work with families and the parents have a high, and that's not a bad thing, right? They're just competitive in nature. Maybe they did sports, they're high achievers, they're type A parents. Very often, there's more competition within the family. And so if you see that happening, there are things that you can do. So like, let's say when you're playing games, family game night or whatever, and a lot of parents are like, oh, I don't even want to do family game night because it always ends up in tears and trauma. Well, you realize, okay, we're having some trouble with competition. So from now on family game night, we're going to only do cooperative games. So we have to work together to win, right? Rather than competing against each other. So again, it's not so much an age where it really becomes more prevalent. It's just kind of the family dynamic and what all is happening that makes the family atmosphere for competition more intense.
What are cooperative games?
Cooperative games are, and I can send you a list of them, or you can just Google a list of cooperative games, but they are games where the children work together to be able to win the game. And it's great if you could have the kids playing against the parents, because that allows them to work as a team. That can be super helpful. For game night, also, games of luck rather than skill is helpful to kind of even the playing field when you have siblings at different ages and skill levels. So those things can all help. The key thing is the more that you can have them work together, not just on family game night, but on different things. So you can have your kids work together to plan the menu for the week, right? Put them in charge of jobs to do together. Put them in charge of cleaning up the attic together, or whatever it happens to be. The more that they can work together towards a common goal, that really helps that sense of teamwork in your family.
Is there like a specific language as kids get older and you have kids that are maybe honing in on a sport or an activity, or having, as I was saying, their moment at different times? Maybe the younger one has their moment before the older one, or vice versa, whatever it is. Is there any dialogue that as parents we should be using or being mindful of? Of course, not the obvious, you should be like your sister or you should be like your brother. Of course, not that. But anything that as parents we should be mindful of to look at their siblings' success as their success and not as something that they feel threatened by.
Yes. And I think that we can accomplish that by creating a culture of like supporting each other in the family, right? So if one child is in a school play, we all get together and talk about, okay, this is going to be a really busy couple of weeks for him. What can we all do to work together to support him in that? And for all of the kids, we're working, you know, so-and-so has a big game this weekend. What can we all do to work together to show our support? So that way, we're just that family norm of we all do this together, that just becomes the way we operate. And so it does become like one person's success is the whole family's success. And we all celebrate because we all had a part in that. And it's no one person can be successful in anything without the support of their loved ones around them, right?
Yeah.
And so if you kind of create that culture with the siblings, that can be just a really powerful mindset that they'll take into adulthood. I suspect you and your siblings have that.
We definitely have that now. I mean, I get so excited with my siblings having success in so many different areas, whether it's a moment that we're doing it together or separate, or it's not happening at the same time for everybody. Like I truly love that and have grown to love it much more as I've gotten older. But when I was younger, I definitely come from a very highly competitive family. So I think when I was younger, that competitive mindset of like, why would my younger sibling be doing something that I haven't done yet as the oldest was definitely something. And I remember my mom always saying, look at Beyonce and her sister, or look at Venus and Serena Williams. Like you see all of these siblings that are the same gender, that one sibling might be having a moment that is bigger than the other sibling, and then they switch at some point, but always looking and seeing, oh, they're rooting for each other. They are wanting the best. They're wanting success for one another. And I remember when I was younger, I would look at that and I would say like, I want that. But there's a part of me that feels like, I don't know how to do that when you're young. Like, where does that come from? So I like these ideas of being able to like implement different language or routines that allow that to allow kids to come to that, or what come to what I came to at an older age, at a younger age.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying. And I think if we could sort of almost use this as a mantra, like we are each other's biggest cheerleaders, right? You are your brother's biggest cheerleader. And that's just the way they grow up. And we can also acknowledge that it is hard sometimes when your brother's having the moment and you're not. So let's not shove that under the rug and act like that feeling doesn't exist, because it is. And it's okay to honor that. And we're also each other's biggest cheerleaders. And so it can be, of course, at the event being the cheerleader, but it's also leaving a post-it note on their mirror. It's sending them a little text. It's leaving them a note in their lunchbox, like thinking of all the things that we can do to show support, that the siblings can show support for each other.
What about if a sibling, as they get older, if a sibling feels that a parent is doing certain things because they might feel bad or feel they need to make an extra effort with another sibling?
Again, that comes back to that core belief of you love him more than me. he's your favorite, right? So again, kind of being aware of that and leaning in with empathy again. I know it's hard. Like, we're spending a lot of time with your sister right now because she has some different needs that you don't have. And I know that can feel hard because I'm giving her more of my attention. And so acknowledging that is the most important thing, because then, of course, they feel seen and heard. And then also bringing them into the process, right? This child has some additional needs, or their circumstances different right now that they need more of our support. How can we bring this child into it so they feel a part of the process? They don't feel alienated by it. They're a part of the team that is involved in that. So there will always be those times, for whatever reason, where one child has more of your attention and energy. But we kind of want to set the environment that the others don't need to be threatened by that. That's just what we do as a family. And there's going to be ebb and flow in terms of who's going to need support when.
Is any sibling competition healthy?
Absolutely. So there's always going to be that. And sibling fights, actual sibling fights, are healthy because these are our first relationships, right? And so that's where we learn how to navigate conflict and compromise and all of the things that are involved in conflict resolution. So we don't want to squash that completely. So some of that is healthy and perfectly normal. It's just whenever it crosses that line where we're feeling like, oh, this feels like too much. And you'll know that based on frequency and intensity. So if the frequency just feels like, oh my goodness, we're just dealing with fights day in and day out, we need to really look at some of the root causes of why this is happening. And then the intensity, if it's getting physical, if the language is getting hurtful, if it's disrupting family life, then you know, okay, we really need to address this at the root level. This is beyond just normal sibling bickering.
Got it. Okay, I feel good about all of these these tips. Did your boys ever fight?
Of course they did. Yes, absolutely. I will say the fights were pretty predictable. So it would be when they weren't getting enough sleep. Interestingly, when they were on technology too much, that would just like suck the life out of them and they would be at each other constantly. But the other thing is, if you just kind of keep an eye on the patterns, you'll notice there are times of the day that your kids tend to fight more. So for example, you're trying to make dinner and they're in the family room playing and they're at each other constantly. So you can do things to kind of engineer the situation so that doesn't happen. So you can rotate which one is your kitchen helper each day. So basically, you're just keeping them out of each other's space, right? In the morning, if they're getting at each other when you're trying to get ready and get out the door, one is in the bedroom area getting ready, the other one is in the kitchen having breakfast with you. So there are a lot of things that you can do around systems and routines. If we're constantly fighting about who gets to sit in the front seat, we put a schedule on the refrigerator so everybody knows whose day it is to sit in the front seat or pick the song or whatever it happens to be. It's kind of like letting the routine be the boss, letting the system be the boss, so you don't have to be the one refereeing the fights.
That's amazing. That's actually such a great idea. My siblings and I used to fight over who gets in the front seat all the time. And I think a schedule of it would have been helpful.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much. This was so helpful. And you're such a parenting guru and wise person to talk to. And this is such a loaded and heated topic for so many families. So I'm so grateful for all of your wisdom and guidance. And I can't wait to dive in more to all of the amazing topics that you write about.
Thanks, Catherine. This has been such a joy, and I'm just delighted to share this information with your listeners and viewers.
Thank you.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.